Hey, what's up, most excellent Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? Today we promise you a most totally non-heinous episode, because today Jesse and I are covering Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Whoa.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
You know, I used to I used to do a mean guitar with my teeth. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I even add the distortion.
Oh, I realize you're with a little whole song.
Yeah. Yeah. Just 7 minutes later. Yeah. I chose November Rain of all things. That used to be a party trick back in high school because I was real lame. Anyways, hey, we're back. We took some time off, had to regroup. No, not really. We just had Thanksgiving and stuff. Yeah. What do you want from us?
Jeez, get off our backs.
Come on. Are you hair? Are you hair? Then get off my back.
Ooh.
That's from Mean Streets. De Niro says that right before the craziest bar fight of any 70s
film.
Are
you saying we're about to fight? What's going on right now?
I say that to Renee all the time whenever she's like getting on my back about something. I'm like, are you hair? Are you here? And she's like, no. And then I'm like, get off my back.
Does she never like finish it?
She hates when I do it. There are several things I do that annoy her, and that's why I do them more. Mowage. Anyways, hey, that was a very typical opening for Guilty Movie Pleasures. Welcome back, everybody. If it's your first time joining us, you're probably super confused. Don't worry. I spend most of my life confused, because I'm your host, Ben Begley, and with me, as always, is...
I'm Jesse McIntosh.
Yes, he's the voice of reason, the voice of cool, the voice of...
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Man, this Channing Tatum.
I was hoping you were just going to go, man, this Channing Tatum. Yes.
I wanted to intro it because we were addressing the people who haven't listened to
just
us.
Just to further confuse you.
Uh-huh.
So we wanted to go back to a Guilty Movie Classic. We've done some, we've already done, if you were wondering, if you're clamoring for a Rocky episode, Cameron and I, when he was on the show, I believe it was he and I don't know, I've gone through more hosts than Trump's gone through cabinet members.
Yeah, you've had 23 hosts.
Anyway, show. Like I slipped in that subtle joke, political joke. Not so subtle. We did a Rocky IV episode, so check that out. So if you're sitting here going, why aren't they doing Rocky? Creed II came out. It's because Rocky IV is the perfect one to do for that, and we already did. But Bill and Ted's, we did, Josh McCook and I did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure back in the day, and we also were Bill and Ted for the Schmodown, which I was going to dig out my Ted costume, and I just didn't have time today, so I failed myself and the audience.
I figured, because you didn't run that by me at all, so I would have just been just amazing. Not in costume.
That would be amazing if I show up as Ted, and you're like, cool, dude.
All right, so I guess we're doing this?
I guess you're showing me
you're
up?
You're doing it? Okay.
Good point. Good point. I'm glad I didn't. I thought of it today and then didn't have time.
So. Well, I had. So you were going to bring, sorry, a Ted costume, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I have a Bill costume.
Do you?
But I never wear it. It's in the dry cleaning plastic.
Okay. Yeah.
In my closet.
Because it's an exact replica.
Yeah.
It was one of his stand-ins outfits, actually.
It actually was.
Alex Winter.
They gave the stand-ins the same wardrobe that they gave to...
Yeah, it's really high production. Anyways. His
attention to detail on that set is incredible.
Hey, let's talk about the movie. How about that?
Why not?
So, for me... I remember I loved Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure so much when I was a kid, and that was back in the days of Blockbuster. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what you do. I don't think you pound your chest and point.
That's what we do now.
I think that's football.
I mean...
Which, by the way, my daughter now watches, whenever we're at a restaurant and there's football on the TV because of my uncle, she goes, yay, go feetball!
Oh, good.
She calls it feetball.
Good. She's
the best. So
on the road to a very unhealthy obsession. I will say that, like,
she's gonna have a fantasy league in kindergarten, hustling kids for money.
That's a very, very funny, like, oh, that might be football. Like, when you're not referring to rules of football at all, just like something that humans do, and you're like, I think that's football. I think football does that.
I think that's feetball. Yeah. So I loved Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I actually rented it I had my parents rent it for me on VHS so many times from Blockbuster that eventually they were like, you know, we have this previously viewed for $10, right? And I was like, you can buy movies? Because we've talked about this on the show before. Mm-hmm. Before you could buy things on Vudu and Amazon and iTunes and blah, 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 get things instantly, things would come out on VHS, and only a select amount of movies would be for sale on the same date they came out to buy or to rent. Otherwise, you had to pay like $100 for a VHS tape. And you would have to wait 6 months to a year after it came out to buy it previously viewed. And it had stickers all over it, a Be Kind Rewind label. It was like the only way to own stuff. And I remember I finally bought it, and I wore out that VHS tape. I love that movie so much. I still love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey I love too, but I don't remember it as well. All I remembered was playing Games with Death and Robot Bill and Ted. And rewatching it, I was like, this movie's amazing because it's not as good as the first. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a classic. This one's just so ridiculous. And it's like they just smoked a ton of pot and just stream of conscious came up with ideas, and none of them were filtered out of the final product. And I'm completely okay with that in a Bill and Ted structure. It's bonkers, though. I enjoyed the hell out of it, maybe even more than when I was a kid, because I think it freaked me out when I was a kid. There's a lot of dark stuff in this movie.
I mean, they die.
Yeah, they full on get murdered.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought it was a blast. I had a lot of fun. I thought some of the jokes still really landed. One of my favorite moments is when the dad gets possessed by Ted, and the dad does a really good Keanu Reeves impression.
It's actually an incredible,
it's incredible
Keanu Reeves impression, and the other guy does like
the worst
D-minus impression.
It's like, and it's so bad because they set up, they set it up with Ted, and then Bill is the next one, and you're like, oh you really should have done your homework, dude.
Ooh, yeah,
or like cast somebody who could do that.
When the dad was doing it, I was like, oh, are we gonna go on like an extended run of him just in this guy? And then when the other guy did it, I was like, oh,
stop now.
And then they like immediately exited, and I was like, oh, that's probably why, because they realized he couldn't do it.
Yeah, can you tell me? Here's the thing. The guy who plays Death is a character actor who's in a ton of stuff, and he is my favorite thing in this entire movie. He is amazing. When he goes on that rant, which we have a sound clip for, but we'll play it later, when he like gets jealous of Station, yeah, the alien.
There are a couple of them at the end. I only pulled one, but there was one where he wants credit for the robots, which is what we pulled. There was one where he is jealous that they
have a nicer butt
than he does.
Which basically, the aliens in this movie are, their entire back is just ass cheek.
Yeah.
Two ass cheeks.
Yeah, yeah.
One giant crack up the back.
And it also like came out, and like no one has complimented anyone's rear for the whole movie. So it was just sort of a non sequitur, and like all of a sudden it's important to everybody. Yeah. And then there was one at the very end where he loves show business.
It's so good.
Which is great.
I love the whole scene with them playing all the games, and they're like, best 5 out of 7. Damn right! He's just so funny. I love this movie. I think it's, I don't think it's as good as the first one, but they go for it, and they don't copy the same beats as the first movie. It's almost a completely different ride, because they don't really touch on a lot of history. That's some things where, like, you could argue the first one is educational in moments.
Are you mad you didn't learn as much?
I'm a little mad, bro, because I'm pretty sure heaven isn't like that.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure you can't just sneak in by mugging people.
Yeah, that one, that if we're going to talk about nitpicks.
Man, heaven has a real loose entry system back in the 80s.
Are they not checking IDs? What's going on? Yeah.
Anyways, that's what I thought about it. What, Jesse, what's your history with Bill and Ted and having seen this movie before or not?
I'd never heard of it. No, that's absolutely not true. I was trying to like really lower the bar on my foundation here. No,
because I went on a 20-minute thing like usual.
Yeah, I've heard of Bill, never heard of Ted.
Who is he?
Yeah, it's a mystery.
It's
to all
weird
of us.
That you're such a huge Alex Winter fan, but you've never seen a Keanu Reeves movie.
It is very weird. It's one of the quirks that people love about me, but I find confusing as to why
I would
they love it.
Challenge you to name another Alex Winter movie.
Bill and Ted 3? I don't know.
That might be happening.
Yeah, I think,
That's how this got suggested by one of our viewers. Really? They're like, Bill and Ted 3 is coming out. You should do Bogus Journey.
Yeah, so I've seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and I, like I think I told you, I remember Bill and Ted, and I remember the vibe of the movie, but I couldn't tell you a specific thing that happens in the movie.
Do you remember, like, just kind of that was Keanu's, the thing he had to try and shake off forever after that?
No, because my first experience with Keanu was The Matrix.
Wait, when did you see Bill and Ted's
Excellent? I saw it later. I saw it when I was like 16, 17, 18, something like that.
What did you think of it at the time?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing it when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah. It probably played better.
But... And just thinking when Napoleon goes on the water park and loves it and shoving kids out of the way to go again, it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
I mean, that sounds funny. I have no recollection of that. So but good. It sounds like a great scene. When
they're all in the shopping mall and Genghis Khan and Sigmund Freud and they're all causing havoc. It's classic. I love classic. It. I love it
classic
so much.
History jokes.
The biggest problem, though, there's George Carlin's barely in this movie. Yes. And yes. He's in the first one a lot more.
Sure.
It's a bummer.
But so I sort of had an expectation of the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Did it live up to that?
It lived up. It for sure lived up to it. It was such a goofy movie. And like goofy can sometimes be goofy in lieu of being funny. But this was both.
Okay.
This like hit a lot of like really good notes. It maintained as best it could. It had a grasp of funny,
yeah.
And not just like, let's do crazy stuff. It was still like, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for. It had an idea of how it wanted to be funny, and it executed it very well.
So you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah! We got the Jesse stamp of approval!
That's right. Boom, 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 boom.
Did you notice how really well shot it is in a lot of sequences? Like, it looked like a Terry Gilliam film in a lot of sequences. There were all these weird angles on people, these strange, like, steady cam zoom ins and stuff. And
so I did notice, particularly immediately
in, like,
after they died,
yeah,
and particularly in those moments, they were like trying stuff.
Yeah. It got really experimental.
It was
weird.
It was very. It threw me off a little bit at first because I was like, "Oh, are they trying to like make a movie here, or are they trying to make Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?"
I think they're trying to make a movie.
And it was it contrasted a little bit with like what the rest of the movie was giving off. But
yeah.
I didn't hate it. I think it
works given the weird dreamscape they're in.
Yeah.
So should we do this plot in under 3 minutes?
Let's do our best.
Should we do it as Bill and Ted?
We can certainly try.
Can you try as Bill and I'll do as Ted?
Yeah, bro.
All right, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you ready in the booth, Steve?
Yes, sir. Yes,
excellent.
We are, guys.
Party on. Count it down.
All right, in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so we start off in the future, and everybody's going to the Bill and Ted Academy, where there's basically all these people in these foam kind of rubber suits and, like, spandex things underneath. Super weird fashion trend in the future. And we find out that Rufus is teaching everybody about the flamadama-ding-a-dong-ding-ling invention or something. And then Dominus comes in, and he's this bad guy, and he looks kind of like a poor man's Max von Sydow. And he comes in, and he's like, yo, we're going to end this Bill and Ted, because they're bogus boneheads. And he gets these evil robots, and he sends them back in time, where we have Bill and Ted, and they're still practicing, and they're terrible. At their instruments still. They totally D2 the Mighty Ducks return it. And then that, what happens then?
And then they show, do the Battle of the Bands tryout, and they're like,
terrible.
Oh, they're terrible, but the girls are good, so you can do it. Great. And so then they go to their father's party, and they propose to their girlfriends, or they propose to the babes.
The babes, yeah.
Yeah, they propose to the babes. The babes are like all into it or whatever. And then the evil robot versions of
them. At the Circle K. They show up. And then they show up at the Circle K, and they're like, whoa, we should totally listen to future ourselves, because last time we met the babes, all right? Yeah, that's what we should do. And then they're getting, especially Ted, me, he's getting some weird vibes. He's like, I don't know, Bill. I don't trust these guys. And they go in a van, they get shut in there, and then they're like, hey, they're being total dickweeds the whole time. They get there, and they say, hey, we're going to kill you. And he's like, who are you guys? And they rip open their face, and they show a skeleton of a robot, like an exoskeleton with, like, looks like it was made at Spencer's Gifts, and then they put it underneath, and then they throw them off a cliff, and it's totally bogus, and they wake up and they're dead, man. And then they walk around, they meet Death. Death says, you gotta challenge me, and then they Melvin him by giving him a wedgie, and then they go off and they try and
Go to the police station,
they're
and they
black
try and
white
let
ghosts.
People know. So they go into the police officers and they're like, hey, Bill and Ted were killed. And no one believes it, so they're like, all right, let's go to a seance then. And they go to a seance and they're sent back to hell.
That's the best impression
and
ever.
And so they go to hell and they're like, hey, Devil Man, what's up? And the devil sends them down all these pathways and they gotta like live their own hell or whatever, right?
It's terrifying. It's totally bogus.
And then they're like, all right, well, let's challenge Death. And so they play games with death.
And then they win.
Yeah. And they, oh, God, okay, here. They totally win against death. And then death, they go to heaven, and they meet God by mugging three dudes to get in. Totally heinous, but God's cool with it. And then God introduces them to Station, which are these two twin robots that have a bodacious backside. Am I right?
You're so right.
Yeah. And so then what happens is they go down. Station builds this robot, two robot Bill and Ted's. Then they combine to be a giant Station. Then they go and face off against robot Bill and Ted. Evil robot Bill and Ted get their heads punched off by good robot Bill and Ted. Then they get punched in the stomach and totally explode. Then Nominous shows up, and then they do this game about, hey, we're going to do this in the future to do this. And then they totally arrest Nominous, and it's great, man. It's totally awesome. And then they do the Battle of the Bands, and it's projected to the entire world, and peace and harmony is spread by music.
And they have great facial hair.
Excellent.
Can we make it a new rule that every single plot in under 3 minutes is done as Bill and Ted?
Yes.
How do you think that'll go over, Steve?
You know what? I think it'll go over pretty well.
stamp of approval from Steve.
Hey, we got the stamp of approval. All right.
We have two stamps of approval.
Pretty fun. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
All right, we covered the whole movie. That's it, folks.
That's it.
Good night. Let's start off with the outfits in the future.
Okay.
Because if you may not remember from the first one, and if you haven't seen the first one, viewers at home... And on iTunes and all that good stuff, which I guess would be at home too, or in your car. The first Bill and Ted, the whole thing is leading up to the fact that Bill and Ted, their music is going to change the world, and it's going to change the. It's going to promote this philosophy of being excellent to each other. Just these very broad strokes generalizations of like pay it forward kind of things.
Like, what a terrible society that just being excellent to each other created, like, a brand new society. Do you know what I mean?
We could use that right now.
We sure could.
We could use Bill and Ted to make us all be more excellent to each other. You could argue the world would be better right now if we were all just more excellent to each other.
So, are you suggesting that someone has gone back in time and stifled real life Bill and Ted?
Yes.
That's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't prove that it's not happening.
I'm not going to try.
So, there you go. But I will say that even though the future seems very utopian and excellent, the wardrobe leaves much to be desired. It looks like they were going to attempt Stormtrooper or Star Wars-like attire, but didn't have the budget. So instead, they turned a bunch of pool noodles into armor.
Yeah.
And then wore leotards and turtlenecks underneath.
A lot of styrofoam.
And then all the guns look super plastic. And it's incredible.
And
I love it, though. And they have giant UGG boots, it
looks
like. They
have weird, huge boots. And I assumed that we were going to learn that they were on some gravity-less planet.
For some reason. Because they're functionally just terrible. Like,
right.
I imagine it's so utopian that nobody has to run away from anything ever. Because how would you run in those?
Yeah, sure.
They're like this big on your foot.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah, and they all had like some weird wrap around their knee. So I was like... This is something, and then it wasn't. And then it just wasn't.
I want to have a documentary just about the design of their. Do you think that would find an audience if we just found the costume?
I would watch it. I'm curious.
And did like a full 90-minute documentary just on that.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah,
if you're interested, tweet at us and let's find this costume designer. It's easy. It's on IMDb. I just haven't looked it up. So then they go. So Nominous shows up. Like I said, kind of like he reminded me of Max von Sydow from Judge Dredd a little bit, like this evil old. He actually reminds me of a lot of people in our government right now. This evil old white guy just wanting to mess up everybody's fun.
Yeah.
And he shows up and he's like, Bill and Ted are buffoons. I'm going to send an evil Bill and Ted robot back in time to ruin the Battle of the Bands where all this begins. So there's kind of like this like. X-Men, like, comic book-y storyline where they're going to go destroy them.
I do wonder if it would have been easier just to, like, wreak havoc in the present.
Yeah, or...
Do you know what I mean?
Or make your Bill and Ted evil robots smart but able to play dumb.
Yeah.
Because the flaw in his entire plan are the evil... Which adds to the humor of the movie. So if you make them super smart, there's not as much comedy. Because it's hysterical to see these dumb robots... be dumb as well. And I wish at one point the Nominous, I think his name's Chuck D. Nominous. And I wish at one point he would have been like, I really should have made you smart. That's my bad. You know, like some recognition that he totally screwed up the plan.
Yeah. Or just like make them anyone else or yeah.
Cheers in myself.
Cheers.
Again.
You know, like, they didn't have to be Bill and Ted. It could have just been anyone.
No, it had to be evil Bill and Ted.
And destroyed. I mean, for the sake of the movie, but, like, if you're creating a plan to, like, go back in time and destroy something,
yeah,
you don't need to replicate the...
But that was the whole plan, was to make everybody think that they're awful instead of amazing.
But why? Like, they killed him, and so, like, they could have just... been gone, and then
that's a good point.
And then everyone would have been like, "Oh, the two people that no one knew."
That's a great point. They killed him. Why is there this elaborate plan after they killed
him? Yeah, plan's over. Plan's once over. You kill him,
they're dead.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
I don't know.
I like the elaborate nature of it because it feels like a Saturday morning cartoon because it's so stupid. It fits the world of this. Like I said, I swear, everybody. I think I said this before. Maybe on the air, it's all a blur. I swear everybody was just smoking pot and just stream of conscious made up a movie.
Yeah.
And I love it. But yeah, that logic flaw is there. I really wish they would have made a bad robot Rufus, because I love George Carlin and I love Rufus. And I would have really enjoyed seeing an evil, like, letting George Carlin, because he's such this pure, positive person in the Bill and Ted universe. It would have been awesome to see him go off the rails.
Yeah.
And get more towards stand-up George Carlin.
Yeah.
I'm sure George Carlin was very busy doing other things at the time, and kind of, this feels like a pity movie for George Carlin.
He didn't clear his schedule for Bill and Ted's bogus journey.
I think he did the first one, and he's like, oh, yeah, this will be fun. And then when they came to him with a sequel, he's like, what now?
Okay, I'm good. I'm all set.
I was good with the first one.
Yeah.
You kind of finish it off but with world peace. But yeah, so then there's, what was I going to say? Rufus's his old teacher is the betrayer, and it was his gym or shop class teacher or something.
I think they said gym teacher.
Gym teacher. The pulling their face off was actually kind of awesome. The practical effects in this movie, for the most part, are really cool. Like, they do it in a seamless way and cut around it now for it looks like they're ripping their skin back. And like I said, they have these fun little, it looks like an exoskeleton you would buy, like, if you went to Spencer's Gifts back in the day, which, if you don't know what that is, they still exist in very few malls.
Yeah, Google it.
Google it, all right? Jeez. It looks like a generic ripoff of an exoskeleton, like they're trying to sell for a Terminator costume, but they don't have the rights to.
Yeah.
And I love that. Yeah. I actually love the design of it. I think it looks really fun. And when they rip open their chest, and first off, they have abs of steel, which I'm sure maybe they did. Maybe they had abs of steel.
Who knows?
I'm just jealous. But they rip open their skin and
quite
they
literally
have
literally abs of steel.
They have all these, real abs of steel that open up with all these fun little. That's what I miss. I miss practical effects like that. As sometimes cheesy as they can look, they still look more real to the eye because they are real than CGI.
Right.
So, and I love that Station was practical. Station looks so cool.
I didn't know Station was practical.
What?
Station?
Station, yeah. He's a practical creature.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
See, because he looks so real.
He looks so real.
You thought he was a real creature.
I thought that was a real being.
When I was a kid, I thought Gizmo was a real creature. And I was devastated when I found out Gizmo wasn't real. I would ask my parents to take me to pawn shops. They never would. But because he gets it in a pawn shop, and I would ask them to take me to pawn shops whenever we drove by one. And in Akron, Ohio, where I grew up, pawn shops are in really dodgy parts of town.
I mean,
and
in most places, they're not great.
They're like, I don't think they have Gizmo there, honey. Yeah. And eventually they had to break it to me. I was so mad.
Yeah, it's not where you go for treasures.
So sad.
Yeah.
It's where you go to sell wedding rings.
Yeah.
And then
buy them back later.
So then we go back in time to our present day, not the future where Bill and Ted's Excellent University exists, Excellent Academy. Bill and Ted are practicing for the Battle of the Bands, and they are god-awful.
Yep.
It's terrible. And like I said in the three-minute thing, they basically D2 the Mighty Ducks Returns Us, where, we didn't practice since the last one. And I'm like, you assholes, you didn't learn anything from the last movie when you saved the, you know, you won the school presentation, I forget why they were given the school presentation, you met all these historical figures, you met all these babes, you haven't changed at all, but I'm glad by the end of this movie they change. And they go on a 16-month guitar intensive and grow a ZZ Top beard and a sweet, like, Inigo Montoya mustache.
Yeah, and, like, bummer to all those high school students competing in battle the bands who had been practicing for over 16 months, because they almost certainly were. Yeah. Like, no one as a sophomore was like, let me pick up guitar so that I can compete in battle the bands.
Didn't they say one of the bands was Primus?
Oh, maybe. So, like, said, actual professional bands.
Primus! And I was like, why is Primus facing off against Bill and Ted?
I don't know.
And Wild Stallions.
In the San Dimas
Primus Battle was of the slumming bands. It in the 80s, man.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, man, that's worse than, like, a fair.
Hey,
LA County Fair performance.
All publicity is good publicity.
You're right. You're right. Anyways, we should get into the first sound clip.
Sure.
So this is when the promoter, played by Pam Grier, is getting on them for not practicing.
I mean, you can't sing. I mean, the girls, they can play, but you guys?
Girls mature faster than guys.
It's so good.
Is he wrong?
He's girls wrong. Mature faster than guys. Oh, this movie's so good. We got to keep going because we spent a lot of time on the wardrobe. So my brain's not working. Okay, so then they go to their dad's party, like we said.
So they're let in to the Battle of the Bands, and they're basically like, you can go last when no one is there because the girls are good.
Yeah.
But make sure that you're good by the time you do this.
In like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they go to their dad's party. We see Missy, which is Ted's hot stepmom, or Bill's hot stepmom from the first movie, who's now married to Ted's dad. And Bill's dad is like a sad alcoholic in the corner.
Yeah, eating a Twinkie. Just like super weird. He's at a house party and he just has like a single serve Twinkie.
So good. And then they propose to the babes, and then evil Bill and Ted show up.
This is actually from that party when the dad's friend, who's an army general or army,
yeah,
whatever,
an Alaskan,
he is. Yeah.
Boarding school corporal, a colonel.
Yeah, and he's like
a total creep in this scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he looks at the babes and he's like, hello. Like, oh, there's Twinkie Man and
it's a weird party. Weird vibe at that party. But they're like, yeah, well, if we win, we can pay you back.
What's the party for?
Unclear.
It's so good.
Yeah, and he responds.
If you win, I can totally pay you back the money I owe you.
And what if you don't win?
Well, I guess, maybe sell some more blood.
Sell some more blood. We've all thought of doing that.
I mean,
in college, I almost sold my plasma, but I was too afraid of needles.
Yeah.
And
doesn't
never
that hurt?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So evil Bill and Ted show up, and at first they're at the Circle K, which strange things are afoot at the Circle K. So I love the callback to Circle K from the first movie, because that's where the future versions of them and Rufus first show up. they show up, they fool them immediately and take them off in a van. And when they see photos, I think it's when they see a photo of the babes, evil Ted says this.
I got a full-on robot chubby.
Which begs the question, are these robots made anatomically correct? I guess so.
I don't know.
And are they... And
apparently.
Are they given glands, like a chubby that would work? When... I don't understand the thought process of this robot.
I don't know, because they clearly have sexual desire.
They do. But is that a program, or is that some sort of robot physiological thing?
Oh, you're asking bigger questions. Are we operating on our own free will right now?
There's a dude at the entrance of a freeway today yelling at to me.
Really?
Asking me if I'm thinking my own thoughts or thoughts people tell me to think.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, God. Oh, my God.
Now I'm thinking what you're asking me to think.
So that was mind-blowing that you just said that. Anyways, now I want a 90-minute documentary about how the evil Bill and Ted robot penis works and if it's their own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into Westworld territory.
Yeah, we sure are.
Is it his own thought, or has it been programmed that he has a robot chubby? Does he actually know what one is?
Is Bill and Ted's brain been replicated and put into... Yeah, what... How
now
are these
we need
robots
a Bill and
operating?
Ted 3 to explain all of this.
Oh, I don't even need a plot in Bill and Ted 3.
No,
I
just
need an
this.
Explanation.
Just this. So Bill and Ted drive them off, tell them they're going to kill them, and then toss them over the edge. and they full on fall to their death in a very peaceful way. They're just laying there. Usually when people fall to their death, they do the stereotypical like bent knee to show that they've died.
Yeah.
You know, like knee in an awkward position or arms.
But just on their backs. Like, yeah.
Just like,
it's like they fell asleep.
Yeah. Just sleeping in a very tight blanket. So then they wake up. And their makeup, I think their makeup's done pretty cool. It's like black and white makeup, and all their clothing is black and white, and that's how we know now they're ghosts. And can we play clip number 4?
Dead? We're dead, dude.
Dead? We're dead, dude. Oh, so then that we meet Death, and instantly I love this character.
The best.
The best. And he has this weird kind of Eastern European accent kind of thing going on, and he's like, no one, but it gets more pronounced as the movie goes on.
Yeah,
because in the beginning he's more just like ominous and like, no one has ever beaten me in the game, which is great. The payoff is great later on.
It's so good,
because they could have skipped so much if they just challenged Death already,
right? And he like makes it so ambiguous when he's there. He's like, you have to challenge me. And he never says to what.
And then they just like, why do they call it a Melvin?
I guess
Steve, do you know what Melvin means? Why that's a wedgie? I stumped you. I stumped me. Ooh. And you. We've stumped everything. Was the Melvin my own thought? Or somebody's thought that was put into my brain?
It's like how Ben didn't even ask me.
Hey,
Ben
went, do you know what Melvin is?
I don't. Man.
See, I knew neither of us knew.
Yeah.
And then so
maybe
Death,
it was like an underwear brand.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was like a jockstrap, but it was more like a man thong.
Could have been
it was
a man thong.
It was called a Melvin. But they thought man thong was too weird, and the guy who created it was named Melvin. So that's what it is.
But his middle name was Melvin.
It was a totally heinous thing. It gave you real diaper rash for an adult. Anyways, so let's play. This is when they're saying, well, what if we challenge you, Death, dude? And this is what Death has to say, a.k.a. the Grim Reaper.
What if we win?
No one has ever won.
So I am wrong. His accent is clear there. It's just more echoey, so you don't get
it. It's more echoey, and he's not saying as much.
Yeah.
So it's less obvious.
No one has ever won.
Yeah. Because he's basically like, if you lose, you have to stay here forever.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, what if we win?
Yeah.
And there we go.
And there we go. And so then they give him a wedgie. They go through all these elaborate ways to try and get people to know. They go back to their place, and
so they give him a wedgie, and then they outrun him for 50 miles, and I guess he's just given up because he's not chasing them. He ends up back in hell with them.
Yeah.
So they're just like free to roam Earth, I guess.
I feel like he knows their event. Like maybe he's just like, run to whatever you want. You're already dead.
I guess so.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, we've seen in countless action movies where the cops give up when a car goes around the corner.
Sure.
And you're like, what? But they're just...
So that's probably it.
Maybe, right,
well, and to be fair, Death had never experienced a Melvin before.
Yeah,
so
never.
Who knows how long it took him to
recover. His face showed it was his first Melvin, because he's like, ah!
It was also a very funny face he made when he said no one has ever won, because he was like stoic, and then he said no one has ever won, and he gave a little like, very like knowing and telling.
Yeah. I love it. I love Death so much. And this, the Grim Reaper, I just want a spin-off movie of just the Grim Reaper going around telling people when they're going to die. So then they go, and the first thing is they go back to their apartment, and Evil Bill and Ted are being total dickweeds, which I'm allowed to say because it's a PG movie and we're not explicit. They're being total dickweeds, and they're trying to like make out with the girls, and they're like, we're not those kind of babes. We're waiting till marriage. We're English chaste girls. And then they smash up the place, and they're like, well, that's not going to work. We got to stop this. They go to their dad's work, and we already talked about this at length, but where the dad is awesome at a Keanu Reeves impression, and then the other guy drops a ball. And then the seance scene, and then in the seance scene, the Missy and her weird group of creepy, yuppie friends that come to the seance weekly, even though they establish it's never
it
worked.
Never worked.
So they're just showing up. It's like a book club where nobody read the books or something, and you're like, we're still going to have it. You know,
it's very weird.
It's super.
And then they come back again later to like watch the Battle of the Bands. Also.
They're a very eclectic group of friends.
Yeah, they are.
Even though they're all super yuppie and white. Mm-hmm. But they're you know, their likes and desires are eclectic.
Sure.
So Missy and her friends send them to hell, where they have this crazy sequence. And the first thing they say when they get there, and there's this giant devil dude, and all these rocks with chains on it pulling people to somewhere, to their own personal hell, within these awesome dragon, metal dragons that engulf them. The design's really cool and weird.
Yeah.
Can we play clip number 6?
This is not what I expected this place to look like at all. Yeah, we got totally lied to by our album covers.
Now, the confusing thing about that quote is, I feel like it looks like a rock and roll album cover in there.
It does a little bit, yeah.
I feel like it looks exactly like what all of them...
I wish I would have known what they were referencing, because I feel like it was something specific.
Maybe.
And, yeah.
But, like, the devil looks cool, too. He's this giant, huge figure, and his practical makeup's really rad.
Yeah.
And then, just punch the glass. That's what I do.
Just relax, man.
I can't relax.
Jeez.
It's
high tension here on set.
And then they get shoved in their own personal hells in these hallways where every door you go in is a different version of your personal hell.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really Terry Gilliam-ish, like super weird camera angles that I loved and almost wish they'd done a little bit more throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Which they do to a degree, but they ramp it up in here. And like we already talked about the colonel from Alaskan military
school. Yeah, I think we have his...
Oh, do we have that? Clip number seven?
Number 7, I believe.
Get down and give me infinity.
The best is when he's like, I don't think I can do push-ups to infinity.
Yeah.
And then again, they just outrun him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just run off.
And what I didn't pull was right before that, when he was like, when he was doing the drill sergeant thing and he was yelling like, do you understand me? And he's like, yeah, and not saying words.
Yes, sir.
And he's not saying words really. And he's like, what was that? And he's like, yeah,
well, then he goes, yes, sir, sir. Yes, sir, dude. Yes, dude, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, dude, sir, sir, dude. So good.
Yeah.
So this whole sequence is fantastic and weird. And but before we go on, that Infinity clip reminded me that I got a leaked version of Avengers 4, the script. Mm. And I don't want to spoil anything, but spoilers. I don't know what character, because they're all different character names, because it's very top secret. But in the final battle with Thanos, one of the Marvel heroes looks at him and says,
get down and give me infinity.
Because he wants the Infinity Gauntlet.
Of course he does.
In case any Marvel nerds like myself are out there, don't worry. I haven't actually read the script.
I have.
There's somebody out there that went, no!
Because
yeah. That's what I would do. I remember when I thought I read a spoiler for Infinity War, I was so pissed before I went into it. And then it didn't end up happening. And I was so happy.
Oh, well... I would have also been pissed that I had a set of expectations going into the movie that were not.
Oh, I was happy what didn't. Just in case people somehow haven't seen it yet. Uh-huh. I was told one character died that didn't. Got and it. Then several others ended up instead.
Sure.
So anyways, whatever. They're all coming back. It's fine. So they're in hell. There's the Easter Bunny, which is Ted's fear.
Yeah, the weird, like, when they're kids thing, and then there's the grandma.
The grandma's terrifying. These, like, scraggly little, like, white beard and mustache hair.
It looks like little spittles.
Like, give me a kiss. Give Granny a kiss. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And his whole family looks like some weird Tim Burton cult. This is where it gets very Terry Gilliam, Tim Burton-ish. Like, the director was like, no, it's just whatever, we can do whatever we want, we're in hell.
Sure.
And then they escape hell by finally being like, we need to just challenge death, and then boom! And there's so many Deus Ex Machina moments in this movie, like, that conflict is resolved!
Right, but this conflict dragged on for a while.
This is the part that made, Renee was like, on Pinterest while I was watching this, uh-huh. And this part she paid attention to and laughed out loud several times.
Yeah.
You sunk my battleship, and like the whole Twister sequence.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's, what do they play? They play Battleship, Twister.
They play the little electronic football game.
Yeah. It's so good.
And then there was one more.
The Twister was the last one, but there's one before that where he goes, best 5 out of 7. Damn right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so, it's such a funny sequence.
I don't remember the fourth one.
I love it. He ends up.
Clue.
Clue.
Yeah. Which, by the way, when you're playing one-on-one Clue, you can't guess wrong. Like, that's nearly impossible.
Maybe they're playing three?
I don't think so.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
He's just the worst at every game, yeah. I think is what we learned. So then they escape hell They escape death, and they're brought back to life, and they wake up, and they... Oh, wait. First, they comment on death's sportsmanship. Can we play clip number 8?
Well, whatever, dude. But you got a lot to learn about sportsmanship.
That's so, like, Little League Baseball coach.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, critical. It's just like, it's hey, just man, like, you hey, got a lot to learn, bro.
Hey, you tried, but, like, listen, man. Hey. Next time, you know, it's probably like when I played basketball briefly when I was in 7th grade. I averaged 0.5 shots, 0.5 points a game.
Okay.
Meaning half a point a game.
For those of you who weren't math majors.
Just a game. But, yeah, I feel like that's something my dad, like, when I get, like, pissed off at the other players or pissed off that I had to wear a headband because I had really fly. I had the hair that I grew out here and shaved underneath.
Nice.
So it would, like, flop around. I had to wear this dopey headband, and I get pissed at it. And I'm pretty sure my dad at one point was like,
well, whatever, dude. You got a lot to learn about sportsmanship.
I was like, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, you might be right, Dad.
Little did you know, my dad's actually Keanu Reeves.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Not really.
That's bananas.
So they wake up from being dead, and Ted's going, I think a buzzard was pecking at my head. And then Bill pulls out a worm from his ear
sure. And
says this.
Dinner's over, worm dude.
Dinner's over, worm dude. How much of his brain had been eaten prior to that? Did it all heal?
I think maybe it was just excavation.
And yeah.
It was just looking.
Just earwax.
Yeah.
Just like getting maybe a home to just curl up in for a little bit.
Yeah. Also making plenty of assumptions here about what meal that was for the worm. You don't know. You don't know what time it is. You just woke up from death.
It could have been brunch.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could have been.
It could have been a brunch. All champagne brunch.
Were his friends there?
So then they get the... Oh, God, we skipped heaven.
Oh, yeah.
We skipped heaven.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, since we beat you, we need help building good robot uses. How did we skip that? That's a huge section. They go to heaven. They mug 3 guys.
Yes.
They dress up as... Death looks like a strange Amish, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie.
Thing, yeah.
They're like, oh, hey, we're here because what's the meaning of life? Didn't they say like be excellent to it or something?
Something like that.
Oh, no. I'm blanking on the song. I have it. They quote, say something while I figure this out. Every rose has its thorn. They quote that, and then Death picks a really high pitched voice.
It's like a really weird thing to ask them as they're going, like, that's why we're here, to find out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
hello.
Yeah.
You're supposed to tell me.
I actually don't know. That's why I'm here.
Also, shouldn't you be trying to see what my identification is?
Right.
It seems like St. Peter is just really slacking on his job.
Especially because everyone's wearing the same outfit. It seems like they're not judging them based on the outfit, really. It's just like, oh, you guys, I guess, are these people?
Apparently, when you die and are worthy for heaven, you get these specific outfits in the afterlife.
I guess.
Again, 90-minute documentary solely on this issue.
Sure.
Oh, I want it. I want it so bad. So then they go into heaven, and this would have been a perfect place for a callback to have, like, Freud or Genghis Khan. Well, Genghis Khan probably wouldn't be there. Or Abraham Lincoln from the first movie. Have one of the guys that was in the first movie come back and be like, Bill, Ted! Party on, dudes! I would have loved that. That's what you needed there.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't the exact same actor, you could have fooled us. Who cares? But it's still a really funny scene where, of all things people are doing in heaven, is they're sitting around in a circle watching two of the most brilliant scientists in the galaxy that are named Station.
Yep.
Playing charades.
Yep.
And it's fantastic. Benjamin Franklin's there.
Albert
Einstein. And there's a whole bunch of other people.
And then Death, like, record scratches the whole thing by guessing the wrong.
Because Death's the worst movie, at every game ever. Or maybe Death smirks in the beginning because he realizes he scared people out of playing the game. And so no one's ever actually played him.
Sure.
And that's why no one's ever won.
Sure.
Because they're just afraid of the Grim Reaper.
Must be.
So now back to Earth. Now that we fix that plot hole, that patch in our coverage.
Yes.
We're back to Earth. They go searching for robot parts, and Death is debating a gardening hoe instead of his sickle.
And then he puts it back.
Nah.
Yeah.
And then Station gets, apparently just at like a makeshift local Home Depot, gets enough to build these robots. But before that, the Station aliens have to charge each other and form a giant alien meat sack that then shifts into a big Station.
Yeah.
which the meat sack is so gross looking at first. It's just like hair and like alien butt and skin. You're just like, ugh.
But what a great butt it is.
What a great alien butt hair skin it is.
Yeah.
And then they have this awesome montage where Station is quickly building these robots out of scraps.
Definitely a dustbuster. That's the only thing that I was able to discern.
Yeah.
I also thought it was funny that, like, no one was like, you know what? All they did was kidnap us and by tricking us. Like, we can't just go and overpower these robots. We need other robots to do this.
I think they're stronger than them.
I guess.
But not too strong, because they show up.
Right.
And immediately they show up and they're like, hey, you're not us, we're us. And the crowd's going, huh? 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 And then the good robot, the babes are hanging from ropes, they're ripping, we gotta hurry up.
Yeah.
And you think this is gonna be this big epic showdown, and instead the good robots just walk out, full on Mortal Kombat, uppercut the bad robot's heads off. Then punch him in the chest and they just explode. They Bruce Lee 1-inch punch him in the chest and they blow up.
Yeah.
And then you think that's it. But then Chuck D. Nominis shows up.
Yeah.
And they do, I don't know if you remember from the first one, but that's how they break into the police station. They're like, oh, I know. What if we remember after this to go back in time and put a key here for ourselves so that we can get out of the lock? They do that all the time in the first one. And I love that they pretty much parody that in this one, where yeah. they're like, hey, guess what? Time travel only works for the victors. So we came here, we planted the key for you, did all this stuff, and it's like 14 different ways. And yeah. I'm like, I don't think that's how time travel, but you know what? I love it. I wish time travel worked like that.
It checked out while I was watching.
Hey, Jesse.
I was like, that makes sense.
I'm going to go back in time so that when I come back here today, there's $1 million under the table.
Ooh.
Oh, time travel's not real yet, bro.
Obviously not yet.
Nominus is locked up. He's taken away by the dad. And before that, he does this worldwide broadcast about how, you know, Bill and Ted are idiots. So he's going to just
like shoots the cameras
to possess them to.
Then, I guess that changes the broadcast.
Yeah, because he has space weapons that are made of plastic.
Sure.
From the future.
Sure.
So not space. They're future Earth weapons. But then Bill and Ted get to. So and then Nominus actually. It's kind of like Terminator, where the prophecy always comes true, all right? Because you can't thwart Bill and Ted's excellent future. Nominus actually causes the future by broadcasting live to the entire world this epic, totally bodacious music.
Whoa, he should have thought about that and then time traveled back and changed it in the future.
Yeah, he totally messed up his time travel plan. So this is at the end when Death is a little bummed out that he's not getting credit for the robots.
Excellent work, dude.
What about me? I made the wigs.
Okay, Death.
I helped do the shopping.
All right.
I was pushing the cart.
I was pushing the cart. So this guy, I got to find this actor's name because he's fantastic. He's also in a brief cameo as one of the people watching the TV. He's the British dad. It's like, right on, right on.
Oh, really?
That's him, yeah. Huh. He plays a lot of bad guys now. A great character actor. I should do more research before these shows. Anyways, but I had a totally non-heinous time talking about this, and I'm really glad we revisited this 80s classic, or 90s classic.
Dude, yeah. We could go back in time and figure out which decade it was from.
Yeah! Jesse, till next time, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Too Much Jesse, and for Sketch, at The Prom Losers.
And you can find me, at The Ben Begley, on Twitter and Instagram. Also, you can find other stuff that I've done, like The Funhouse Massacre, at Funhouse Mass on Twitter. And there's going to be some cool shorts we're going to start premiering soon after they're done with the festival run. I know I've been saying that for months, but they keep getting into festivals, so that's pretty cool. But I promise to air them as soon as I can. Until next week, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From the Popcorn Talk, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the Schmoes know.
For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.